Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
I don't know how to put this.
Where all the animals flock for information.
I'm kind of a big deal.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
I got a fever.
Now a man who really does talk to the animals.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Even if they have no idea what he is saying.
I gotta have more cowbell.
100% natural nutrition for your brain. Results may vary.
Say hello to my new friend.
Here's Steve Dale.
Oh, boy, we're about to make broadcast history, I believe. I am broadcasting my show remote. That's not especially unusual in the world of radio, but this might be a little different because I am broadcasting. I'm talking to all of you from inside the elevator of the building where I live. And I understand Rick Pearson is in the studio to help me out there. Hey, Rick, are you around?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm fine.
How long have you been in this elevator? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I don't know. For about an hour. Have you ever been stuck in an elevator?
Yes, but not for an hour. And I got to give your cell phone credit that you're able to get a signal because that's pretty amazing.
I'm in the basement of our building, and typically we live on the fifth floor. I usually walk. I wish I had done it this morning, but then someone else would have gotten stuck too. But one time it happened where I was with three passengers in the elevator with me. And, you know, the elevator people who came to rescue me later, I eventually was rescued, this was years ago, said that, people really do panic. They're afraid to rescue people even. Jeffrey Elevator is on its way out as I speak. And I was told they're afraid because people respond sometimes violently after they've been stuck in this small space way up high sometimes. I mean, I have to be at the basement level. We just cannot open the doors. We tried everything. I have a neighbor, I've rushed down here, trying with all his might to open the door and talking to the elevator company. They've tried to talk him through it. But I was with three passengers. Now, one began to whine. And the other began to pace back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The third began to bark because I was with three dogs. Now, the good news is at that time when we got stuck, we were on our way up and not down, if you get the drift of what I mean. So the dogs had already done their business. But I was stuck for, I don't know, at that point about 2 hours because it was rush hour. And by the time they came out here and were able to get me out, so in any which case, let's talk pets. That's what I do. We could still take telephone calls, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. This is, you know what, Rick? This is as live and local, I believe, as it gets.
That's the new motto, you know. Now, how big is this elevator? I mean, how big of a space is this? I mean,
I'll put up a picture on my Facebook fan page, but I am telling you, it's a small space. It's a very old building. We live in a building that was built in the late 1890s, and I believe Otis himself built the elevator. So it's a very old, very small elevator.
Well, you know what the original motto for Otis was, didn't you?
No.
Good to the last drop.
Well, don't tell me that. Actually, I've already dropped as far as I can go because I'm at the basement level. But, you know, a lot has happened this past week and a half. And by the way, one more thing about this. I was at a conference, an amazing conference, that I do want to talk to you about for a minute, about Rick, because it was incredible. It was called Zubiquity, held in New York City. And I flew in because I wanted to be live on the radio. It was a two-day conference. I spoke the opening night at a swanky dinner. And then yesterday they held some things, and it went until fairly late in the day. And I wouldn't be able to get a flight back from New York City to Chicago. There are no very late flights back to Chicago. And I wanted to get back, so I missed half of the conference so I could be on the radio, and here I am in the elevator. But this conference was really incredible. What they did is they brought all these professionals together from the medical world, the human medical world, together with veterinarians with a lot of letters after their names, because integrative medicine, or as it's been called, ubiquity now is really medicine is not all that different for our dogs or for people. And for decades, models have been used, rodent models, rats and mice, instead of dogs. And they induce things like cancer in these rats to learn about cancer in people. Well, some time ago, a lot of us thought, you know, this really doesn't make sense. Dogs get this stuff anyway. It doesn't have to be induced. They get a lot of the same diseases we do. We now know that dogs are more like us than we ever would have thought, actually. And if you look into their brains, their brain chemistry is exactly the same as ours. By the way, Rick?
Yes, Steve?
I did forget to mention the newscast we just heard.
Yes.
Was sponsored by Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Center.
This could become your new studio, this elevator, if you keep this up. I mean, this is it's got great resonance in the background.
Does it really?
Yes.
312-981-7200. In an elevator, on a train, in a plane, I'm happy anywhere to answer your questions. 312-981-7200 if you have behavior questions about your pets or have questions about this news story that, Rick, I don't know this about you. Do you have any pets?
I've had pets in the past, yes.
Well, there's been a big story, and it's been in the news, in the newspapers, about concerns regarding jerky treats, particularly those that are imported from China, which are most in the world of jerky treats. And the FDA, Center for Veterinary Medicine, I mean, this has been happening since 2007. And since 2007, they've received reports that have added up to this number, 3,600 sickened dogs and 10 cats that they know of. Now, this is actually, in a sense, a political story, Rick, because the FDA has been very cautious about coming out and telling consumers what to do. And what I didn't mention is that nearly 600 deaths have been reported by the Food and Drug Administration, Center for Veterinary Medicine. Now, that may not sound like a lot, or maybe that does sound like a lot, but I will tell you that your dog that was killed as a result of eating something you just walked into the supermarket. You know, we assume these products are safe, right? You walk into a supermarket, or I suppose you buy online now, and you assume what you purchase is going to be safe for you or your pets. It really doesn't matter, shouldn't matter. You assume it's going to be safe. We assume our food is going to be safe. You don't assume that you're going to buy something that'll cost you a ton of money in veterinary bills and maybe even threaten the life of your animal. We don't assume that, or ourselves. You know, I mean, we get here's how this relates to people. Because we get so many things, we don't even know what's made in China anymore. I mean, if it says made in the USA on the packaging, Rick, what I've learned is that it is made in the USA, manufactured here, but not necessarily all the ingredients sourced.
Correct.
In America. So we can't even tell for our own food. So is this a red flag for our own food? It's been going on since 2007, and at first the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine was kind of cautious, saying, you know, all right, we expressed some concern, but we don't know what's going on. As this problem continued, they sent inspectors, even independent inspectors, who do not work for the government, to China. Problem is the Chinese weren't always so willing to let the inspectors see the operations or be open about their records. And instead of mandating any recall, there have been a trickle of voluntary recalls. The voluntary recalls, those companies have not explained. They've used other explanations to say this is why we're recalling the product. They've not alluded to whatever problem is going on in China. No one really knows why. This is a simple product. Jerky treats, apparently, there's not a lot that goes into it. At this point in time, what I'm telling people, and the FDA is finally coming close to saying this, just don't buy chicken jerky treats. Yes, they should all be recalled. They should all be stopped at the border. That is not happening. I wish it were.
Steve?
Don't buy this stuff yet.
We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll get back to more. And I understand the political sensitivities with U.S. and China. We'll come back. We'll be back with more with Steve Dale from an elevator right after this. You're listening to a very special edition of Steve Dale's Pet World. Steve Dale doing his remote from an elevator stuck in a basement. Steve, welcome back.
As you say that, it's like I can't believe you are saying what you are saying. Do you have, by the way, your cell phone with you, Rick, so you can call on the other phone, Bruce Dumont at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and tell him this is radio history?
I think that's a good idea, and they've got all that big stuff coming up over there at the museum, so this could be a featured kind of presentation.
I think so.
If only you had the Skype camera to go with it, we could do a kind of the whole multitasking going on.
Well, you can find me on my Facebook fan page, and what I will do is I'll post a picture of the elevator door not opening. It's not too exciting, but I will post that. 312-981-7200. That is our telephone number. By the way, the easiest way to find that fan page, facebook.com/Steve Dale Pet World. I, in fact, am glad you're here because I would like to talk to you further about the political stuff between America and China.
Well, actually, Steve,
America,
we've got a phone call from Lou.
I know it. Yep, let's go. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how are you doing? This is unique talking to you in an elevator.
Yes, it is. Where are you at?
Well, I'm sitting at the dining room table in my house.
Somehow, I wish we could trade places. But that's
I wish you were here. I wish you could be here. I wish you were here to see what happened this morning. My wife was baked all day yesterday for a bake sale at church this morning, and we got up this morning to get the pieces of merchandise loaded up into the car to take to the church. And one of the nicest pieces she baked was at the edge of the table, and my dog got at it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular dog that we've got is my son's dog. He left it with us about 6 months ago. It's the most wonderful dog you could ever like as far as personality. However, I just cannot stop this dog from begging for table scraps no matter what I try to do. If I go out and get, fast foods for dinner or something, you might be sitting there. It'll sit there the entire time, and it'll just sit there and wait for you to give him something. So we've tried to take the dog and get it out of the room when we're eating. It's never without food, never without food. We've tried 3 or 4, maybe even 5 different brands of food. It is very, very, very particular in what it eats. It will not eat like I've seen most dogs eat. You put it in a bowl and it eats. It'll let it sit there until it's almost starving, and then it'll finally go and eat it because it's thinking it's going to get table scraps. And you can't leave anything on the counter without protecting it, because you can come back an hour later and you'll find a hamburger, or you'll find maybe a casserole or something that you left on the counter. It'll get into it.
Sure. What kind of dog is this?
It's a pit bull. It's a real, I don't know if you, it's not a, a, it's a brindle type colored pit bull, but it's a very slender. It doesn't have the real the short pug face that a pit bull has. It's
a
long legged pit
bull. Right,
yeah.
So, Lou, first off, dogs that we call pit bulls are all typically mixes, and I'm sure your dog is what I would call a pit bull type dog. Like most, the vast majority are not actually pit bulls. We just call them that, as I suspect you know. Is your dog okay after scarfing down whatever your dog ate that your wife baked overnight?
Oh, sure. It's happy.
All right. Just want to make sure there was no dark chocolate in there or something that
could hurt. No, this was a white cake.
Okay. Sounds good. I'd like some right now, actually. So you've got a dog that probably has had a lifetime. What you're finding out is the lifestyle that your son lived with this dog. Apparently this dog didn't develop this habit overnight. This dog has had a lifetime of being fed from the table, probably. Dogs who have never been fed from the table don't know to to even go there and beg for food. Why bother? Because it would never happen. They don't think of something that's not going to ever happen. So what you've got to do is you've got a little bit of tough love here if you don't like the idea of a dog begging from the table. And that is completely, absolutely, totally ignore the dog, even if the dog starts to bark and whine and do all those things that sometimes dogs do for attention. And even negative attention is still attention. So even if you say, no, bad dog, or whatever you say, I would say nothing completely. Now, here's what's going to happen. It'll get worse. It's like one of those bell curves. It'll get worse before it gets better. It's like the baby crying, and you know that at some point in time, you just got to let the baby cry it out. This baby's old enough, nothing's wrong, et cetera. And it does get worse before it gets better. This is the same exact thing. But eventually, it will get better. In the meantime, you have to be, and your wife has to be diligent about not leaving food out. That's just kind of the way it is, and maybe the way your lifestyle will always be with us. Otherwise, wonderful dog. And that's the thing. I mean, the dog is otherwise wonderful, but for the dog's own good. Because if the dog gets into too much food or the wrong kind of food at some time, you could have a sick dog. So I would say just don't leave things on the counter that are potentially edible. All right?
It's very frustrating.
Yep, you know, I understand. You know. I thank you, though, very much. And let me know what happens, Lou, okay?
I'll do that. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lou. That's if I get out of the elevator, Rick.
Well,
I assume at some point I will do. So here's a question I have for you, and our telephone number 312-981-7200. And I'll rely on you to tell me if there are more phone calls that come in or calls that our producer, Jill, thinks we should take.
Actually, Steve, we probably should go take a break, and that'll give a little more time for the elevator repair guy to show up, okay? So we'll be back with more with Steve Dale's Pet World from the elevator in the basement right after this. Welcome back to this morning's historic remote broadcast from the basement elevator shaft in Steve Dale's apartment. Steve Dale's Pet World. Steve, in the closing seconds, have you heard from the elevator company at all yet?
I believe they are on their way. And if for some reason they're not, we'll do the show this way again a week from now.